the time to be a part of this conference and to join us and interact in all these great sessions. Caruana, I know this is a huge topic and nobody better to cover it than you, so I will pass it over to you. What's new in Microsoft Teams?
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. I really appreciate it. And hello, everyone, both in the room and online. I'm really happy to be here presenting at this virtual conference. And, you know, it being hybrid, it's super exciting to have folks in room and also online. Now, throughout the talk today, please make sure to post your questions in the chat. And I'll leave some time at the end for any questions that happen to be in the room as well. I think the hardest part of this last 16 months of being virtual is I don't actually get as much feedback from the audience as I usually do. And so I really encourage you to, share your thoughts on the chat online and also in the room later. So we're going to go ahead and dive in. If you need to know anything more about me, you can find me on Twitter at Caruana or via my adoption newsletter on LinkedIn. And I definitely encourage you to do that. I have the pleasure of having been with Teams since the beginning, since before our public release. So I've been here a while, and it's great to see how the product has grown over time. Of course, you wouldn't be here without our awesome sponsors. I always like to thank them, especially now. It's been a challenging time for everyone, and we really appreciate their commitment to this community and making sure events like this one continue to live on. And we're definitely looking forward to coming back to the next M365 Collaboration Conference in December in Las Vegas. So I hope to see some of you there as well. As I mentioned, you can always stay up to date on what's happening in adoption, but also across Microsoft 365 with our adoption newsletter that's available on LinkedIn. That is a place where we publish a lot of information around strategic highlights and research and what have you. We alter its publication dates based on US holidays and what have you, but I have another one that's coming out this week. So please go and subscribe on LinkedIn. And if you saw any of the talks that I've given this week, you know that, you know, we're really focused on reimagining teamwork, prioritizing employee well-being, and delivering holistic improvements to the organizations that we serve. These three priorities should be your framework or your prism by which you look at all the new features that I'm going to discuss. Features in any technology product are only as good as the scenario they improve. So everybody's going to talk to you about all their new cool features, and Microsoft Teams and Modern Work at Microsoft is no exception. But I really want all of you to be thinking about how do these features empower you to improve the employee experience, your customer engagement, your relationships with the partners that you use to achieve your business objectives. That is actually what matters, not the technology in and of itself. And so I always like to make sure to remind folks of that when we start to dive into these rapid fire, what's new in Teams sessions, because it's really important that you have some scenarios that you're focusing on improving. Many organizations at the beginning of the global pandemic had to do what we call a rapid deployment of Microsoft Teams. That means you turned on the switch and let everyone in so that you could continue operating and communicating and having online meetings. But now is the time to go back and polish that implementation of Microsoft Teams. Think about what you want to get out of this next. And what has your organization learned during the last 16 months? We do a process in my team called a listening session once a quarter where everyone on the team comes together and shares what they've learned. That knowledge sharing is so important because there's been so many different insights that we've gained over the time that we've been, challenged with this global pandemic. As we go forward, many people are going to be in different states of hybrid work. Some people are returning to their facilities, other people are not. Some people are going to be embracing a hybrid work schedule. And so we really do have to think differently and go from reacting to this pandemic and the changes we've been through to reimagining what the future looks like in these types of scenarios. This is by far not the list of all of them, but it's some of the top ones that we see globally and around the world that are relevant to many organizations. Now, I am going to focus on Microsoft Teams, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that, really all of the building blocks of the Microsoft ecosystem are available to you to be able to reimagine that future of work and your business objectives in your own organization. And so while I definitely focus on Microsoft Teams, I coined the term early on, better together. And I really believe that the work that we can do is not only better when we work together as individuals, but when we bring the products together to deliver that value. And nothing is more true about that than what we're doing with the Power Platform team. There's been lots of sessions around this, so I'm not going to deep dive into it, but I want to make sure that you're thinking about how do teams and the capabilities of Power Platform work together to transform those business processes. Everyone now can be a low-code or no-code developer and a maker, and we're really working to make sure that these capabilities are available to folks, even if you're not a professional developer. You know, I'm a semi-pro developer, certainly a low-code, no-code person, and I'm really excited about what we're doing to bring together these capabilities like Power Apps and the Common Data Service into Teams and what we can do with the solutions we can create in those what we call collaborative apps. And you're going to hear us talk a lot about collaborative apps and what that means, and it's really about, you know, continuing to extend those business processes. Power Virtual Agents, another important capability as they exist in Teams or in other experiences that your customers might see, and Power Automate to drive workflow improvements and business process improvements across the organization. And so as we think about what Microsoft Teams means to you, we have to think about these other capabilities and what they will do for you going forward. Because I don't know about you, I've been in a lot of virtual meetings in the last 16 months. You know, I've been in a lot of virtual meetings. I've produced a lot of virtual events, all the way from things like Microsoft Ignite and Build to events like this or individual webinars. And, you know, while I appreciate, you know, Microsoft Teams enabling us to stay together, and I'm very grateful for everyone being able to use our product to come together and work done, I also know that there's more to the world than the virtual reality that we've been living in. And now is the time for us to start thinking about how to build these things together as we stay connected, collaborate, and simplify work on this secure and compliant platform that we have available to us. We've done a lot of research on this going forward, and 82% of managers expect to have more flexible work from home policies as we move beyond these initial phases of the pandemic. I'm not sure I'm a fan of the post-pandemic phrase. I know that's what we all want, but I do think that the impact of this event, this global event that we've lived through, is going to live with us. And so there certainly is an after, and I'm happily that we're moving towards that, at least in some regions. But we've proven now that we can all work together when we're apart. But do we stay organized? Do employees feel connected? Can you onboard new team members well? These are some of the questions that we still have to deal with Microsoft Teams. And 60% of people feel less connected to their colleagues since so as people managers and leaders and technologists, we have to figure out how can we use the new features that Microsoft, you know, that we're delivering to you to improve that statistic. We want people to feel connected to not only each other in our organization, but the customers that they serve. And so we are really working on prioritizing features that will drive engagement and that can be leveraged in this hybrid workspace that we're going to be in as some of us return to our facilities. Online meetings alone, we know for sure not enough. We've got to move things forward with other capabilities. And so whether that's files and tasks or office apps and whiteboards, devices in meeting rooms, we have to think about the full plethora of capabilities that are available to us as we move forward. And last but not least is the graph, right? The graph, the Microsoft graph is fundamental to being able to extend and build different sorts of experiences, whether you're customizing something from a line of business perspective or accessing that data so that you can show it in a Power App or in an adaptive card, the graph is incredibly powerful. It can be pretty overwhelming when you're first getting used to understanding it, but just know when you hear a Microsoft employee or a developer or an MVP talk about the graph, they're really talking about accessing all of the rich data stores that exist in the modern work experience to be able to repurpose it and turn it into actionable data. The data alone is just a pool of information, but being able to turn it into insights and actions and decision points is what is more meaningful for your organization. So I want to show you a quick little video here of the meeting lifecycle reimagined a little bit. And so I'm going to talk through these things afterwards, but let me show you this video and then we'll talk about all the cool meeting features that are coming to you. That's a lot of stuff. And so really the focus on meetings and all the meeting innovation that we're doing there is about improving the life cycle, the before, during, and after a meeting. Right? We want people to stay more connected. We want people to be able to share the information that's relevant to that meeting in that meeting and have that information be actionable and discoverable even when people aren't able to join. One of the things that I always tell people and why we have a certain setting in Office in Microsoft 365 that every meeting be a Teams meeting is you can't always assume now, even if we're back in the workplace, that everyone is going to be able to be join your meeting. So if you add that Teams meeting to every single meeting that you schedule, you'll have chat available. You'll have a place to be able to store files. You can share an agenda. You can share meeting notes and tasks and things that everybody needs to have to be productive. So I really encourage people to think more about the life cycle of a meeting and what it means to be productive in your organization in that way. Meetings as the center of this virtual experience that we've been dealing with, you know, have varying levels of productivity associated with them. That, and for instance, also you should think about the fatigue, the meeting fatigue of your attendees, right? Not every meeting do you have to have your camera on for. Obviously I do today. I want you to all be able to see me as I present. But there's lots of meetings that I have inside Microsoft where I have my camera off. And that does psychologically reduce the stress on employees when they don't feel like they have to have people either seeing them or seeing into their home or using, you know, one of the backgrounds that we provide. So meeting and calling is definitely an area of continued innovation that we're going to focus on over time. Rich calling features are also coming into this space. You know, Microsoft Teams as a phone system is also, you know, the ability to democratize that accessibility and streamline calling in your organization. And so, you know, it's also something for you to be thinking about because while inside Microsoft, we don't use our calling features as much as you might think, most of our customers do. And so consequently, having that new experience is important. And by the way, don't think that your feedback isn't heard. We've had some feedback on the new layout of the calling tab within Teams, and we're having conversation right now about how we should respond to it. Your feedback is incredibly important to the way that we prioritize new features inside of Microsoft Teams, and never has that been more clear than what we did with Together Mode and the new dynamic views that are rolling out. And so, being able to fight meeting fatigue by bringing people together in a different way online and being able to eventually customize these experiences as we announced at Ignite and Build is really important. And so think about creating a custom stage that you use with your customers. And the meeting extensibility features that we have will allow you to take different components of a meeting and build it into those third-party applications that you might want to extend. Think of scenarios like a telehealth experience. People aren't coming into the Teams client, but they're using voice, video, and chat services provided by Microsoft Teams in an end-to-end scenario like that. And there's many others that we can discuss. Having these engaging meetings also means having different sorts of layouts that are available. And so we have obviously already launched Large Gallery View. but more is coming, right? The dynamic views that we'll be able to, you'll be able to enjoy, which we've announced at Ignite and previously, are still rolling out. Not everyone has all of them. But as over the course of the next 6 months, everyone will get like weather person view and where I could put myself and my content side by side, I could overlay my content, that sort of thing. And so really helping your users know how to use those things effectively is a great theme for your adoption and internal champions. Because, you know, there's so many features in Microsoft Teams that on a regular basis, most people are only using a fraction of them. And so I think our goal should be to help people use the features that are going to improve their experience, and breaking them down by theme with a well-supported Champions program, or you're getting content from the Champions program that Josh and I run. All of that is important as you go forward. Making sure that people have this shared virtual space and can continue to improve the experience, whether using custom backgrounds, background filters, you know, all these different capabilities that exist in the experience today, is going to continue to be extended. And I gave a session earlier today on virtual event best practices where I went through kind of the decision tree of whether you're going to use live events, a Teams meeting, or webinars. So if you're interested in that, I encourage you to check out that session or our virtual event playbook online. But, you know, Teams meetings are the heart of that, as well as live events, and giving you that flexibility to make sure that you're creating the kind of experience that people actually want to participate in. Devices are also a key part of this. Now, you might not think that devices were a hot topic right now because we've all been virtual, but you would be surprised that the obviously there was an initial surge of people getting a good headset or a good speakerphone like the one that I'm using today. But as we address the hybrid workspace, you'll need to have better conference room setups and setups for people who are actually back in that physical space to also accommodate collaborating with people who are not joining you from the same physical location. Plus, the way we do business today, even if you're a smaller organization, you might find yourself working with somebody across the country or on the other side of the world. It just depends on the kind of work that you do. So making sure that you're thinking about the types of personal and shared devices that you can use to improve the experience of collaboration is important. Again, we have an entire microsite dedicated to the devices that are available. More are being created every day. Some with dedicated Teams buttons that automatically activate the app. And, you know, as the one that I have here today. And, you know, I'm one of those people that, because I do a lot of speaking and I have my show on YouTube or whatever, I have a lot of gear here. But I'm actually just using my Puck to speak with you today. And I found in many of this sessions that I've given, this Puck is good enough, you know, Sennheiser piece, that it still delivers quality audio. Quality audio is fundamental to the Teams meeting experience and any type of collaboration you're trying to do. People can deal with the video freezing, or even if I had to turn my video off because I had bandwidth constraints here or something. But if my voice starts to go in and out, that's a problem. And we're doing a lot of AI inside of Microsoft Teams to help with noise cancellation and suppressing background noise. And those are new features that are coming into the client as we go forward. And that is really helpful. Because if there was somebody vacuuming outside my office door right now, because I have my noise cancellation on high, you would not hear that. And the work that we're doing and that we'll be releasing on that will be very important. And it'll be accessible by these devices, especially the certified devices that we have from Teams. Now, when we think about meeting experiences, you also need to be thinking about webinars. This is also something that's reasonably new. You should think of a webinar like a Teams meeting with registration that's customizable. And so you have registration reporting that you can customize. The meeting, the webinar will scale to up to 1,000 people. You have a lot of organizer and meeting controls, and you can use these new dynamic views I'm talking about to make sure that your webinar is really engaging. An admin does have to enable some of these features, and it is still continuing to roll out around the world. It will be available in GCC and in GCC High, and we're working on it for DoD Clouds. And most of the features that I'm talking about today, we are laser focused on closing the gap between our commercial offerings and our government offerings. So if there's anybody out there who does a lot of gov work, just know that this is a key focus. Josh and I and my team, we work on that specifically, gov enablement. And so we have these cloud environments, if you're not familiar with this, called GCC and GCC High, that state and local agencies, federal and civilian agencies will use, as well as an entire DoD infrastructure. And so not all of them have the same feature set for Microsoft Teams. And so we're working very hard to close those gaps and do what we call simultaneous ship. So when things come out for commercial, they will also come out for GCC, and that will enable many of those state and local agencies and international government agencies to use those features more quickly. So webinars is one of those that we pushed on for that simultaneous ship. It is becoming available quickly. And so that's been I'll call it a thorn in the side of our government customers for some time. You come to a session like this and I'll be talking about a lot of things that you can't use. And so we realize that that's been a pain point and we're working to address that quickly right now. So there's a roadmap here that really talks about the Teams meeting roadmap and what we've done. We've launched breakout rooms, new together mode scenes, dynamic views are rolling out, and these custom layouts that will be available. And then live reactions and polls in your meetings and these very, very large meeting capabilities that we're rolling out. And so, you know, these new features really represent significant improvements both in the performance and the options that are available in your meeting space. And, you know, I will say that the pandemic definitely influenced our roadmap. These things were all on the table prior to the pandemic. However, the speed with which we had to land these innovations, especially for friends in the education sector, like with breakout rooms, for instance, or, you know, doing moderations and having more control, has been, you know, obviously accelerated because of the pandemic. So if you are in the EDU space, there is an EDU roadmap that is specific to you, additional features that are coming out, whether you're in K-12 or higher education. There's a large portion of the usage of Microsoft Teams is in education. If any of you are parents out there, you probably had to have your kids log into a Teams meeting for their virtual school. Obviously, we all want our kids back in school, but it has been helpful to understand the difficulties of using Teams in that scenario. And a part of the difficulty has been empowering the IT pros who serve in that industry. You might be in a school that's very far from the central IT professionals who manage that district's infrastructure or policies. And so we've learned a lot from it. We're continuing to innovate there. And many of the new features that we're writing for breakout rooms will be or influenced by the feedback that we've gotten from the education sector as we've had to support them during this challenging time. So I do want to check the chat. Josh, is there anything, any questions that I should answer before I move on?
You are good in the chat right now.
Okay. Well, I do want to make sure that everybody, I think Josh, you have to mute so I don't echo. There we go. Thank you. I do want to make sure that everybody is clear about the place to stay up to date on these features. I'm showing you now the Microsoft 365 roadmap site. And what I've done is I've come into the site and I've filtered it for Microsoft Teams. And in doing so, I'm able to see the things that are in development, what is rolling out, and what has launched. I've checked this box for what is rolling out. And you can see that there are 63 features that are rolling out. And I really encourage you to give feedback on this site. You know, we've gotten a lot of feedback about it, and we continue to try to improve it. I think there's, you know, more that we can do. But you see this little feedback button down here. Please give us your feedback. You know, I read that. The people who manage this site read it. And we're using it to make sure that we can deliver more value to you from these sorts of experiences. But it is the place that we do all of our updates, and this drives a good deal of the content that you would see in the message center in your own IT, you know, your own Microsoft 365 tenant, and that information, which of course can be linked to Planner and Teams, as I have a video on my channel. I'm going to click on one of these items here so that you can see a little bit more detail Again, it gives us, it's just some additional information, but this last modified date is important. This particular item on dynamic views, which are rolling out now around the world, was last modified on May 4th. And so sometimes looking at those modification dates is important because it lets you know if we've made a change to the schedule of that particular item. This was actually added to the roadmap back in July of 2020. So plenty of information to be found there. I realize that sometimes the format of this can be frustrating, but go ahead and download it if you want to manipulate it in a different way, and that will help you stay up to date along with the information coming from the Message Center. All right, now let's move on and talk about apps and workflows. So Microsoft Teams is certainly more than chat and meetings, so it is a very dynamic and exciting part of our product. But if you think about your day from a user perspective, from an employee perspective, yes, they're having meetings and talking with people and having chats and reading emails, but they're also trying to get work done. And apps are a very important part of the Microsoft Teams experience. If you happen to be in a tenant right now that still has our first-party Microsoft apps turned off in Microsoft Teams, I implore you to talk to your IT pro, your tenant admin, to turn those apps on. Teams, without the other Microsoft apps, like Word and PowerPoint and Tasks and things of that nature, you're really limiting the effectiveness and the productivity capabilities of the tool. And I do still find some customers who have things turned off. Now, obviously, you may want to turn off some of the third-party apps that we have also included because you may not want your users to use them. But I encourage you to take a look at those third-party apps or ask your end users which they're using already, because they'll guarantee you that they're probably using at least one or two of them already. And you may need to make some decisions about that from a company, a governance perspective. But the app experience is really improving, and being able to add apps in meetings, being able to add apps in chat and in your Teams, which you've always been able to, but also in your one-on-one chats, allows you to, again, extend the productivity experience that you're having. There's a lot of work that we're doing in this place, in this particular area, because also we find that we want to make sure that we can reduce the meeting fatigue and the change fatigue that end users have. And that's why we talk all the time about context switching. Now, when I have to switch out of Teams and go to a browser, out of Teams and go to my deck, or out of Teams and go to Outlook, all of those things are a load on me neurologically and contribute to my fatigue at the end of the day. So if I can stay in Teams and get things done, that actually helps me as an employee be more effective. So turning messages into actions with apps and workflows directly in your chat is something that we're very excited about. I myself had a hand in being able to release the feature of turning a chat into a task. If you have tasks turned on, I'm so excited by that because it really helps my workflow to be able to then have a planner that has all of my follow-ups from chat across the experience that is available today. Through that ellipses menu on a chat in Teams. And so you'll see more of this happening where the apps can actually be accessible directly in the conversation, so you can turn that conversation into an action. Part of the feedback we've gotten on Microsoft Teams is that it's difficult to have a workflow with all the chats in different places. And so we've absolutely heard that. That was certainly my experience. And so we'll continue to release features that help you make your chats and conversations actionable as you go through the process. And also continue that into meetings as you're able to add apps directly into meetings and follow up. And this particular one uses Asana as an example. That's one of those third-party apps that is so popular in the ecosystem. And again, it's available because from an IT pro perspective, this app has been made available to end users. You can also do that by groups. So maybe you have a group of designers who use Asana together or Adobe Creative Cloud or what have you. You can have those apps be available to a group of individuals and not available to everyone in your organization if you want to manage licensing in that way. Low-code solutions that are also created. Remember at the beginning, I talked about the Power Platform. And these low-code solutions are actually able to be accessed and created from within Teams. So this is a quick demo of a flow being created right inside, a Power Automate flow being created right inside of Microsoft Teams. Again, that just reduces context switching. Of course, I go and work in the Power Automate portal directly in my web browser an awful lot. There's no doubt about that. But for very simple things or simple edits to Power Automates that I already have provisioned, being able to get to it right inside of the team where I'm working in it is quite useful. The same thing is true with Power Apps and being able to build and edit them there. Again, another scenario where I often work in the portal itself. I usually use these features more for editing than building, but you certainly can build now directly within the Teams client, and we definitely see that as an improvement. And the same is, of course, true with those virtual agents and bots. So, the idea here, you can see a theme, right? There's a theme that basically says, do your work in Teams. Have the things you need to do be available to you in the flow of your workday. And that extends also to our strategy about our employee experience platform, Microsoft Viva. Having those capabilities like Viva Connections and your intranet available inside of Teams, again, it reduces that context switching fatigue that so many of us have been dealing with. And the custom app integrations continue that with our Teams toolkit and Visual Studio. So the idea of improving the developer experience for Microsoft Teams is also very important, because if you have developers in your company, you want to make sure that they are using this Teams toolkit and Visual Studio, which speeds their ability to build applications and pull in Teams capabilities into the work that they're doing. And so, the SharePoint framework, this has been around. I mean, I started out in this space as a SharePoint subject matter expert. The SharePoint framework is incredibly important in terms of the way that we build and design apps in the Teams space and also have them available in other experiences. And so, many people around the world use the SharePoint framework, and making sure that you can integrate those SharePoint framework solutions properly in Teams with a bit more of a robust experience than we originally launched is another thing that we've been talking about a lot and continuing to land. As we think about the types of integrations that are happening, it's important for you to just kind of understand this grid. There are ready-made apps from Microsoft and other providers that you can turn on in your Teams experience that will extend collaboration, communication, and productivity. There are low-code apps and workflows that come from the Power Platform space that you can configure for your own business process improvement. And then there are full-code custom solutions that can be built to extend and improve processes or applications if you have either those people in your organization or you're contracting with a supplier who does this sort of work for you. So this is kind of the slide as a one-stop shop. But I will tell you that top line is absolutely essential. Certainly what we call 1P apps, apps designed and built by Microsoft, are absolutely fundamental and important to the full Teams experience. So if you hit that plus in Teams in your channel and you don't see any apps, go and talk to your IT professional and your tenant administrator to get, at a minimum, those turned on. And then you can begin the conversation about other apps that are created by other providers like ServiceNow or Adobe or Poly that can be so helpful in having a meaningful experience. I will tell you, though, that a lot of organizations, they actually do that a little bit backwards. They'll start with the 1P apps from Microsoft, and then they'll hop down to Power Automate, and they'll start to use some flows or a virtual agent or show some dashboards in Power BI, and then they'll come back to the third-party ecosystem and start using things like Poly or ServiceNow, because they've started to understand the changes in the business processes that can be created by leveraging apps inside of Teams. It's a very, very common scenario there. This is important also because, there are many types of employees in an organization, and some people will never sit at a desk, right? If you are an insurance adjuster, if you are, a volunteer coordinator, if you are out there dealing with the disaster response in any way, or you're in healthcare, you're not sitting down someplace like I do every day to do your work. You are what we call that first line workforce. And the first line workforce, has been the essential workforce over the course of the last 16 months. And we really want to make sure that those folks, whether they're on a manufacturing floor or they're out in the field, have access to the information that they need. We have multiple solutions around this that are available. But I encourage you to think about what are those fundamental things that you want your first line workforce to know and understand. It's usually access to communications and tools. And that's kind of the company out to the first line workforce scenario. But where things really get powerful is when you think about what do those first line workers need to tell you. We were talking the other day about a scenario in which, an insurance adjuster is going out to survey damage at a particular location. And these capabilities can be used so that the images that that adjuster takes from that particular site can automatically be attached to that claim and brought back into, the core team that is managing that claim. So it's a bi-directional capability that Microsoft Teams offers, especially when you start to include things like workflows, adaptive cards, and Power Platform capabilities. So you can start by making sure that all your first line workers can, join a town hall or get some training or request time off. But I encourage you to think about how can you transform that experience of them telling you what you need to know. First line workers are the folks who are the first line of your organization. They are out there, they are with your customers, they are dealing with people. And as the boots on the ground, they are usually the people who know what is happening first. But that information sometimes does not get to folks back in headquarters fast enough. And so in many scenarios and organizations around the world, we've been helping people to close the gap between when first line workers know information and when the people who are actually making decisions with that information have it. And that's why using things like walkie-talkie, video calls, and other capabilities are so important. And we continue to do innovations around modern shift scheduling. And pairing together shift scheduling with conditional access can make sure that you can rest easy that people are not accessing data when they are off shift, which is, of course, a violation of many state, local, and federal regulations. And so using those two things together is very important. But it also gives you that quick ability to do things like shift swapping and just seeing an overview of making sure that you have coverage. You can also use shifts for things like, people who are on a support duty. We use support shifts for DRI in a DevOps scenario, designated responsible individual. When is that person on shift to handle incidents? So shifts can be used beyond the first line experience. But they do provide that capability to manage on and off time, especially with conditional access. And task management, I don't know if you have tried tasks in Teams yet, which is the evolution of Planner and the integration of To-Do, but it's fantastic. And yes, I am biased because I do work on this, but I love the ability to publish tasks. Especially in a retail scenario. Some of you know I used to work for Skechers and retail, technical enablement was part of what I did. And so being able to say, hey, region 4, store 5, here's a set of tasks that I need you to do to change that window display. And being able to do that at scale for all the different stores that may be available is really game changing. And so the task publishing capability is reasonably new, but available today. And there's lots of information about that, both on Coffee in the Cloud, but also, of course, at support.microsoft.com and our docs infrastructure to tell you how to set that up. So it's really powerful what you can do there with that. And, of course, recognizing and engaging people by integrating Yammer into Teams really starts to build more of a connected feeling across your first-line workforce. And though many of us have been virtual, the first-line workforce has always been out there. they've always been away from maybe the hub of where actions were happening. And so making sure they feel engaged and, importantly, making sure they can share knowledge is essential. So I'm showing you some areas where we've had some recent feature releases, and we have more coming. But I really want you to take a look at what's available today. what you can do today in these kinds of scenarios. We're going to keep releasing more improvements in shifts, more improvements in first line connectivity and things of that nature, and more connectors for the low code, no code development. But right now, today, you can improve the experience of your first line workers by leveraging some of these capabilities. I would be remiss also if I didn't talk about harmonizing productivity and well-being with the right kind of insights. And so, you know, depending on where you may be around the world, you may be further into this conversation than others. But my analytics and workplace analytics give employees the ability to see their own behavior. So this is not about you as a people manager looking to see when people are working. That is not what this is about at all. This is about me as an individual understanding what can I do to make sure that I have good work-life balance. It can tell me when I need to take a break. I can do things like use the meeting settings in Exchange to make sure that there are breaks at the beginning of each meeting. Who are the people that I collaborate with the most? Am I making sure I'm getting up to move, as I often forget to do? So these are tools that we can build inside of Microsoft Teams that really will help people have more insights about their own behavior. Now, of course, the people who report to me, I get to understand that they're communicating with each other as well. But it's aggregate information. So it's not, I'm not overseeing an individual. I'm taking a look at the health of my team to make sure that there's cross-team communication. And is there anybody that I need to make sure really feels more brought into the mix? So I'm going to switch topics a little bit, and I'm going to talk about some of the things that we released at Microsoft Build at the end of May that are relevant to this audience, and there was a lot. So if you saw some of the Build keynotes, you may have heard some of this before, but many of you may have not. And so I wanted to go over some of, I didn't take all of that content, but I took some of the content that I felt would be important for this audience to understand. This is a little bit of an overview of the enhancements that we've done to both the developer experience, but also to application management, security, and compliance. One of the big blockers for people using some of the applications that are available, those third-party apps I was referring to, is really making sure that they are healthy and that they can manage them and what have you. We needed to do some work in this area, and we are. But first and foremost, it's all about that Teams toolkit that I mentioned. So if you do any sort of low code or Visual Studio code or Visual Studio type of development, you should have the Teams toolkit. I'm a big fan of Visual Studio code. It is open on my desk 3 days out of five so that I can edit different things. Having that Teams toolkit is incredibly useful. And that's what we're trying to do. This is the second version of it that we've recently released. So it is very new, but it adds additional capabilities to us, as well as changes to the developer portal that we have done. And so, the developer portal now is a much more developer-friendly experience, I will say. It's more along the standards of what happens in other Microsoft experiences. And so this is kind of part of the process of Teams growing up, right? And really being a first party part of the Microsoft ecosystem. And so you'll see this over time as new features come along. We did that recently with the launch of public preview and changing the way that we describe our early rings for people who do early adoption programs. We now match the terminology that is done across the rest of Office. And you'll see more things like that happening as we continue to become an even bigger part of that existing family. Now, one thing, I have another video I want to show you, and this is really important. This is about adaptive cards. So I'm going to go ahead and show this video and then talk about it a little bit. Adaptive cards are basically the way you can continue to extend those business processes. And we have some of the coolest tools that are available so you can see how to build these adaptive cards. And they're much richer than they were before. And so, the idea is that you can take information from wherever in the system and extend it so that it shows up in Teams on your iOS device, on your Android device, on a web page someplace, but you can still interact with it in Teams. And adaptive cards are a fantastic way, if you are a low-code or no-code developer, to get started. So you can visit the extensibility library on adoption.microsoft.com, and we'll put the link to that in the chat. You can visit that and then go out and find the samples and really get started right online with creating some of these adaptive cards. And adaptive cards are great for workflow improvements, approvals, expense report approvals, and we have a whole list of samples that are available that you can use. And so I'm really excited about those adaptive cards and what they do and what they can do as you think about the way you want to change your processes. But you also want to make sure that you have notifications and other information. Now, this is not available yet. This is coming in June. Well, June is now, but later in the month. But we wanted to make sure that there were better notifications from administrators of custom apps. And so we have improved this process. And this is one of those announcements we made at Build, amongst many others. But I wanted to show it because it's important if you're creating apps to be able to share information about them and what happened. Is it being submitted for your approval? Like, what is that workflow? And we didn't have all of that previously. So this is work from the team based on customer feedback, as is the Microsoft 365 certified app capabilities. And so this is a deeper discussion. There's a whole blog post on this. But just know that Microsoft is going to be certifying different apps and their capabilities so that you can have more confidence about the apps that you find in that catalog. We heard clearly from customers that they were concerned about turning on some of these apps because they didn't know them, right? And we show the apps in our catalog, but we didn't certify them all over the course of time because we're not the app publisher at Microsoft. So now we're addressing that by creating the certification process that apps can go through, and I'm really happy for this to finally launch. We've been talking about it for some time. So that's going to enable you to have confidence about the apps that carry that M365 certification as we go forward. You can also customize apps so that there is an easier method for people to understand what the app is for. And so this is available today. And you can do this in the app portal that is in the Tenant Administration Center. And so maybe you yourself created an app that is for your own, time off application or something of that nature. So being able to customize the apps, even the ones that we have provided for Microsoft, some of the solutions that we publish that you can install, you can change the look and feel of it. You can change the icon color, things of that nature. And so, obviously that's a request that we've had a lot. That is available today if you edit the packages. Like if you're using the Champions Management platform that we have just released to make sure to manage your internal Champions program, you can change the icon. You can change the colors and what have you, but you do have to edit it and edit the code. This provides a user experience right in the Tenant Administration Center that allows you to do that without having to do anything from a code or VS Code perspective. So, phew, that was a lot of stuff. And I know I'm coming to the end of my time with you, but I wanted to also share another thing. Microsoft, beyond being a commercial entity, obviously, is also very invested in accelerating different industries. We are releasing Microsoft industry clouds that are tailored for specific industries. We've already released retail, and we've already released our vaccine management solution and our return to work solution, and more is coming. And so what this does is it takes all of the goodness of the modern work and Microsoft ecosystem and configures and tailors it based on scenarios we've heard from our core customers in those specific industries. And so this is very similar to what we've done in education, where we have features like assignments and the assignment notebook that's specifically for education that you would not find in a commercial implementation. So we've done the same thing for healthcare and financial services and retail. Nonprofit is coming, and you can still build on and customize these cloud experiences, but it will just get you that much closer to what you actually need to reduce the overhead of having to build custom solutions for your particular scenario. I am really excited about this. I've been in the industry space a long time, came from the legal industry, done a lot of industry-specific work, and you know, the subject matter experts that we've got in these various industries from the customers themselves and inside Microsoft are really impressive. And I'm thrilled about the acceleration that this is going to represent for these very important industries. And so it doesn't lock you in to a particular way of working. If you want to change something, why you certainly can. But again, those needs-based solutions, the accelerators that we're landing, the broader ecosystem of partners who have expertise in this space, and the actual industry cloud tenants that you can provision will get you that much closer to making sure that you get what you need from Microsoft 365. Any of this stuff, anything that I've talked about today that you have questions about, we are here to help. We really do have the best community in tech. All of you make up that community, and all of my colleagues at Microsoft, we're so lucky to be able to share it with you. Their support, inspiration, and knowledge about everything I have talked about in our Teams community, in the Microsoft tech community as a whole, and the entire Power Platform community is available to you. And so, it's a community, it's all of us that are going to bring together the atoms of the physical world with the bits of the digital. This is a quote by Satya from a recent conference. It really struck me, but it really is about us. It's about our experience, whether it's the customer, the organization, our leaders, or us as employees. We have to make sure that all of the kinds of features that I've showed you today are aligned to improving the experience of those humans. And then we're really using tech for good. So I hope this whirlwind of information was useful and helpful. And of course, we'll share all of this with you on the conference site. But I'm really grateful to the conference organizers. I love participating in this. And I am super excited about coming in person in December to Las Vegas. And so, you know, with that, I think I'll turn over back to our chat and see if I have any questions, Josh, that I should be addressing.
You were good in the chat as well, Caruana. Thank you very much.
Excellent, excellent. Let me see, there's one little question here. Will the keynote sessions be available on the conference site? I hope so. I actually don't know the answer to that question. You know, I show up and do my thing, and Shirley and everyone else takes care of that, but I do believe so. But again, a lot of this content is available. You know, this is actually a new compilation deck that I put together just for this conference, but you will see more of this on our channel on YouTube, Coffee in the Cloud, and everywhere else. And at the end of the day, I want to make sure that, you know, you have access to all of the tools and assets that you need. Make sure to visit that Microsoft 365 roadmap site, and that will keep you up to date on a lot of the things that are happening. All right. Well, if no one has any questions, I really hope that this was useful. It's always difficult to, you know, not always see everyone, but I hope that you enjoyed that. Thank you so much, and I will see y'all very soon. I'll give you a little bit of time back, Josh.
Thank you very much, Caruana, and thank you to everybody that attended. We'll see you later.